Welcome back to another episode of Navigating Postpartum with me, Jeray Williams. And if you don't know, I'm a wellness postpartum coach creating space for new moms to feel seen and heard. So if you are a mom or someone around you is a mom and you want to learn how to best support them, you can. And today we have a great conversation with Shakola. She is here. And everybody say, hey, Shakola. All right. And I'm going to pass it over so she can introduce herself.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Shakola. I am a mom of four, five if you include my furry pet, an educator and a business owner.
Ooh, did y'all hear that? She said she a mom, she an
Yes,
educator and a business owner. You go, girl. I told y'all we can do it all. We just gotta learn how to prioritize what we want to do.
yes.
It's all about. So I want you to tell us, how old are your kids?
My children are 28, 27, 16, and 15.
Oh wow, yeah, you got grown kids now, so
Yes.
you can help the mamas out in the
Yes.
beginning stages.
Right.
Yes. So yes,
Yes.
tell us a little bit about your motherhood journey as a mom of four and oh, excuse me, five with the furry pet.
Right. Five with my son. He's over here sleeping in his bed. So my journey is that of a teenage mom. So I had my first son when I was 16 years old. And it was hard, of course. I mean, but I did have support. I had his dad, his dad's family, my grandma, my family, but it was still a struggle because I had to manage school, my baby. I went out and got a job, so it was really hard for me. I ended up having to be homeschooled because it became so hard. With that, I turned around and had my second son at 17. Ooh, added another life into my own and then more on my plate. I had to leave my job because now I have two babies at home. And trying to finish up school with babies and work and all of that became a struggle. So I had to prioritize, as you made very clear, we need to do that. And so I prioritized, and the children and my education were more important. But like I said, I had the support. So the job wasn't mandatory. Like, I didn't really need it, but I wanted it because I wanted to feel independent and I wanted to be the one taking care of my children. That was my mindset. But my grandma very much let me know that you're not in this alone. And I got you. Okay. And so there went that. I moved out on my own when I was 18 years old. I've never been back. And so that in itself was
In the
tricky for
meeting.
me.
Yeah.
That in itself was tricky for me. So I'm out on my own. I'm 18 years old. I have these children. Now I need a job. School is over. So I didn't, with that, I didn't even go straight into college. Because I couldn't. I didn't have the ability to do so. So it wasn't until my third son came, which was about 12 years later, that I was able to go back to school. And I had him, and I thought I was handling everything fairly well until I had my daughter. And she was the last of the four. And things just went kind of out of the window. Everything I was holding in and everything had built up and everything I thought I was dealing with appropriately just exploded in my life. And I was a wrecking ball. I just want to put that out. Like, it was bad. And I didn't want to ask for help because I felt like, I've always been the strong person. I've always been able to handle whatever came my way. I've always been able to make the right decisions, excuse me, for myself and my children. And so I felt like asking for help was a weakness. And they would see me as needy and they, things like that. And so I didn't ask for help for a long time. It wasn't until one day my husband walked into our apartment and I had kicked into the heating unit from frustration. And he was like, "Whoa, what is going on? Are you okay? Where are the children?" And it was just a whirlwind of, "No, I'm not okay," and
Yeah,
it was a
it was
mess.
your breaking point.
It was my breaking point. Yeah, it was my breaking point. And she was an infant, and of course the older boys were older. And then my Charles, who's the third one, he was about, I don't know, one and a half, close to two, something like that. And But then we finally got help, and he was like, I need you to see somebody. You know, he was very supportive, even though he did not understand what was going on. He had no clue. He had come to, you know, he's like, is that why I would leave the house and not come back? And he was like, I don't, he just assumed, you know, she's having time with her friends. You know, she's hanging out, she's enjoying herself. And he was giving me that, and I appreciated it, but it wasn't just that. It was me escaping all of it. I don't want to be bothered. I don't, you know, and I breastfed. So he was grabbing milk out of the freezer, or, you know, using, Charles didn't breastfeed as long, so we had like a organic powder. He would use that for her if he ran out of breast, because where's her mom, you know? But it was hard.
Do
It
you
was really
think from
tricky.
being a young mom, it kind of impacted that experience? Because it was just like if you had kids like back to back and then you had that gap and you're starting all over and you're trying to carry that weight of like, oh, I want to be the strong woman, the strong black woman, because, you know, I don't want to be seen as needy. So do you think that had an impact on how you handled all of that?
Totally, totally. I totally do. Just being young in that space, and you know, like I said, I had the support, but I also had the mindset that these are my children. I need to do this. I need to be the one to provide for them. I need to be the one to be there every waking moment. I need to be their everything, right? And at no point was I thinking about taking care of me. I never thought about that. That wasn't my priority. It really crossed my mind. Like, I'm gonna be okay. I need to make sure they're okay. And that was always my mindset, until I was like, I'm not okay. I can't do anything for them if I'm not okay.
Do you
You
think
know,
it
so yeah.
became harder when you moved out? Because I know you mentioned you moved out at 18. And 18, yeah, it's tough because you're still trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out what you want to do, but you have two other kids to think about. So, like, how did that feel? How was that for you when you moved out and lived on your own with two kids and trying to work?
So in the beginning, of course, you can only imagine the freedom I thought I was having. I'm like, oh, I'm on my own, you know, because as I got older and with the two children, my grandma was like, you may not leave here and not tell me where you're going. Like, I need to know where you are. I need to know, you know. And I'm in my mind like, I'm a grown up. Like, I don't have to tell anybody where I am, not thinking about the safety aspect of it. She just wants to make sure I'm okay, you know. Don't leave here, and I need to know where you're going. I need to know you're not coming back, you know, and things like that. And I really didn't get it. I just didn't. I was like, she's trying to keep tabs on me, you know, I'm out of here. And so I went and got my own place, you know. And at first, like I said, there was this feeling of so much freedom. You know, I kept telling all of my friends, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm on my own and this and blah, blah, blah. And most of them still lived at home. So it was like, ooh, she has her own place, you know.
Yeah, let's go hang out over there.
Yeah, let's go all the time. Okay, you hear me? My place was the spot all of the time, right? No adults will, you know, our parents weren't there, and like, we were having a time. Okay. But when things started to get real was when I realized, hey girl, you're in charge of these bills, you're in charge of these children, you're in charge of their food. Like, you have to get yourself together. And I was like, okay. So my very first apartment was a subsidized apartment. So it was, I guess, according to your income, you know. And so I'm like, yeah, you know. So I'm like, okay, cool, I can do this. Girl, I could not do it. But I was just like, okay, I have to get myself together. And I maintained, but realizing that everything was on me, on top of everything else, was a reality check in itself. Because you're not at home with grandma. Now, while she was checking for you and she was making sure you told her where you went, and she was, you know, having you call her if you weren't coming home, all of that, she was also paying the rent. You didn't have to worry about life. She bought the food. You know what I mean? And so it was like, oh, I'm grown, because I don't have anybody to buy my eggs, or, you know, like, I have to do that. I have to go to the grocery store. I'm the one who has to make the food. You know, and so it got
It was
real,
heavy.
real fast. It was heavy.
Yeah,
Yeah, it
and
was
then
heavy.
especially thinking too, like how was postpartum, like being young, how was postpartum? Because I know even for me, although hold on, I was 25, turning 26, something like that with my first son, and I thought that was hard. So I can only imagine like just being young and going through that. So can you tell us how was your postpartum experience with being younger?
So let me just say, I didn't know what that was.
Okay.
I didn't know what that was. I was very unaware of a lot of things when it came to the handling of life after those babies. I wasn't told, I wasn't taught. No one shared things with me. And my grandma had 10 children and adopted two. So she raised 12 and then me, but there was still no conversation about, hey, this may be this way, or you may feel X, Y, and Z. Let me know if you get overwhelmed. You know, there was no, I mean, and while she let me know I'm here, but it was just in a support way of, you know, if you need to go take a shower, I'll, you know, keep an eye on the baby, or, you know, things like that. As well as his mom too. She was very supportive. His mom was amazing, right? And he was too. I won't take that from him because the older boys don't, oh my Lord, this boy knows I'm in this meeting. I'm sorry. The older boys, and my husband, the older boy's dad and my husband are not the same person.
Okay.
So, but their dad was very good. He was a great dad, when it came to them and things like that. So his mom was very supportive too, but still no one set me down and said, hey, you know, you may go through this, or if you're feeling this way, let us know. And I really think it's because they weren't allowed to do that. You know, that older generation, there was no, we're not talking about that. You know,
Yeah.
we're not, you don't, you don't, you're not sad.
And they
Like, you
weren't
just had
able
a
to feel
baby.
their emotions
Yeah,
because they
you
were
weren't able to fit.
too busy focusing
Exactly.
on everyone else.
You had to focus on everything else. You had to focus on everything else. You had to be strong. You had to not be weak. And that's the part that I think, I feel like we're taught that that's weak. Asking for help is weak, when asking for help is probably the strongest thing you can do, because it's letting people know, hey, I don't have it all together. I need someone. Let's prioritize meeting people, because that is healthy. That's healthy, you know. And so it was tricky. It was very tricky because I wasn't allowed.
And I love that you brought up the point about like asking for help, because it's like in a way when you first ask for help, it's kind of humbling if you were raised like, oh, you can do it all or figure it out on your own. But when you ask for help, it's like I'm humble enough, and that shows like that's a whole nother thing to unpack, but it's like I'm humble enough to ask for what I need so I can take care of myself. Because oftentimes, I know even as Black women, we feel like we have to carry that burden on our own. Like we have to carry that weight, even if it's like, I feel like I'm about to snap. But it's just like, you have to have that safe space to talk to someone to be like, okay, I'm not good. Because people are gonna think, oh, well, she is fine. She look good. You know, she look like she holding up. She not asking for anything. So how can people really understand what you need if you're not voicing it? Because nobody can read your mind. Nobody can tell you like how you should feel, but you have to be able to have confidence in the safe space that you have to do that. And I'm glad you really had support during that time. But do you think it made a difference when you had kids later down the line and you were kind of more aware about postpartum?
Yes and no. So it's a double-edged sword, because I feel like I still try to handle it all myself. And again, not being fully aware of what that was, because that when you add postpartum, but everybody else adds that last word, and that last word is a bad word, even though it's not depression, right? So it's looked at like, I'm not depressed, like I'm good. No, that's not what that means. You know what I mean? And so that stigma had me scared. And that's the truth. You know, that stigma had me scared, like depressed. No, depressed people hurt themselves, or depressed, you know. And it was really being ignorant to the fact of what it really was. You know, I was very ignorant to what all of that entailed. And it wasn't until that breaking point, my husband was like, we got to get you somebody. And thank God for Dr. Carlos, because baby, without her, like my whole life shifted when I went to her. Everything about my parenting, my, the way I became, changed as a wife, everything changed once I sat down and spoke with her continuously and got my life together
Is
for
she a
lack of a,
therapist?
better word.
Was she okay? Yes. So that's important though. I think seeking therapy is one of the ways that we can better ourselves, especially if you are going through postpartum depression or anxiety, or you have, post-traumatic stress or OCD. There's a long list of different factors that are not talked about enough, but I know when you seek that, like how you mentioned, you became a better parent. You became like it was a shift in you. And I see now, like as your kids are older, and I see you on, going out taking trips and you're like really just taking care of yourself. Like that is just amazing. And I just want the moms to listen who are listening to know, like, even though the season that you're in doesn't always, that season's gonna end. So if you're like struggling with the transition, I know it's hard. And especially if you have more than one. But don't feel like you have to take on the weight alone. And like how you mentioned, there are people who want to help you and want to see you succeed. So my thing is, what tip would you give to a new mom right now?
The first tip I would give to a new mom right now is that you can't pour from an empty cup. So having a new baby is wonderful, but it's also challenging. So I would just advise her to speak up, speak out. Hey, I'm unsure of this. I'm unaware. I don't know about this. I have questions. I need answers. And don't stop. If one person has no clue, move on to the next person. Find the people who can and want to help you, because some people can but aren't willing, and that's okay. That's okay. But find the people who can and want to help you, and don't stop until you are okay with where you are, and be okay with that, because a lot of the problem is we're like, if I, ask for help or tell them I don't know, they're gonna think I'm a bad mom, or I'm a bad person. I couldn't breastfeed my son. It wouldn't, it would, he didn't like it. And for me, that was like, he doesn't like it. Like, I'm supposed to be his food. Like, he's gonna die if I can't feed him. Like, what's gonna happen? And I had to find somebody who was like, girl, chill. It's okay. This is what we're gonna do. And they gave me all of the tips and the things, and ended up that it I wasn't producing enough milk. But again, that made me feel bad, and I'm like, oh, why can't I do this? My body is made wrong. Like, I went through a whole thing, but asking for help and finding solutions and having people want to help me and be there for me and assist me, it made a difference. So I would tell them to find those people, ask for that assistance. Don't worry about if you're being needy or if you're asking too much. That's necessary for you, for the baby, for your mental health. It is very necessary. If you are unsure, seek help.
Ooh, that's so amazing. Because even, ooh, that's just amazing. Y'all speak up, okay? It makes a difference. And if you're like, you're a new mom and you're like, postpartum is not planning out like I thought it would, please reach out. Go to my website, worthyforever.com. I have postpartum planning guide. I do one-on-one sessions. I want you to be able to have these resources. And let me be honest, if I don't have that resource, I know someone who can. I know there are therapists. I know there are midwives. Y'all, there's lactation consultants. Just like Shakola mentioned, it was tough breastfeeding. I had a lactation consultant with my first son. Made a big difference because I didn't know he had a lip or a tongue tie. So there are so many resources, mamas. Don't feel like you have to carry it all on your own. And Shakola, where can these mamas find you? Because I know you have your active wear on right now. Tell them about what you do.
So my family and I have an activewear brand. Back in 2020, my husband and I, because we were stuck, decided we're gonna go on this path of healthiness, and we're gonna exercise, eat right, get ourselves together. in the midst of doing that, Jeray, I could not find decent priced quality workout wear that was sold separately because I am a heavy top. I have a heavy bottom, but the top is heavier. So I needed a larger top and a,
Well, that
medium
sound like
bottom.
me.
Yeah. So I said, you know what? This is, I'm struggling. And I went into places like Walmart and stuff like that, but it was cheap. It, and when I say cheap, I'm not meaning price, I mean the
Like
quality.
quality, yep.
It wasn't supporting the girls. I needed something else, but I didn't want to pay $100 for a pair of leggings. I didn't want to pay, things like that. I really, I honestly didn't. And so I was like, well, my husband came to me one night and I had already been thinking about it. And he's like, let's create our own. Let's give you what you need. Let us do that together. And so we went about this journey of finding, manufacturers, testing fabric, and, all of that stuff. And the Westway Active was born, and we told the children what we wanted our logo to look like. They created that. And so, it was just a whole family dynamic, and we came
Family
together,
business.
and yes, a family business. And so we came together, and we still, do it together. We test fabrics, we create what we want. My son is the artist, so he'll draw out the design. I say, hey, I want it to look like this, and he'll do it. We'll send it to, our manufacturer, and they come up with our piece for us to sample, and then we put it into production. But yeah, so that's what the Westway Active is all about. It's the brand for every body. The body part is most important, and we range from extra small to 4X. Because we I want I hey, I don't want anybody to feel left out. If you have a extra large bottom, but an XL, I mean a XS top, we got you. We got you. Okay. I want everybody to feel included. So yeah, they can find me, the westwayactive.com. That's the website for our active wear. And we also have track suits and this hoodie I'm wearing that comes with joggers. Everything is sold separately, of course, which was very important to us, because everybody is made differently. And then yes, ma'am. So, and then Sweet Life on Instagram, because if you let me tell it, I am living one. And then also on Threads, I am Sweet Life. So yeah, I just,
Well, thank you for taking the time to
of
join
course.
me, pouring into us. I think I love the best part that you told me about your story is like, although you were a young mom, but that's not the end of your story. You kept going, and now look at you now. And you never know where life is going to take you. And using
Not
your
ever.
experience, it just like even poured into me a little bit. I'm over here like, yes, like you got to just keep going, you know?
Yes, just keep going. Yes. And like I didn't say you brought it back up. I had my first baby at 16, and so I didn't go straight into college, but I didn't go until I had my third baby, which I was 27, and so, and then that kept pausing, I continued, but I kept going. I did not stop. I didn't let anything stop me. I took breaks. I
It's
won't deny
okay.
that because I needed them. I needed them. Breaks are okay. And sometimes we feel bad for them, but no, you need those breaks. If you have to reset, we don't panic, we pivot. Pivot a little bit and
Ooh.
go on ahead. Oh, I got that from Mira.
Yes, we don't
Yeah,
panic,
she said,
we
we don't
pivot.
panic,
Ooh,
we
that's good.
pivot.
Oh, that's
We
good.
pivot. Yeah. So, and that's what I do. I've been pivoting, girl, a whole ballerina.
It's a lot of pivots in life, but that's good. Well, you gotta have
Yeah.
that. You gotta have that mentality, that growth
Yep.
mindset. Like things don't look ideal, but it's not impossible. So I want
Exactly.
y'all to know
Yes.
that I'm gonna drop Shakola's information in the description below. I was about to say the bio, like we on Lord Jesus. But yes, until next time, make sure you guys
Yes,
check out
ma'am.
worthyforever.com and let us know what you thought about this episode.